All right. Welcome back to an all-new Comedy at the Carlson Cast. Get more information and subscribe at carlsoncast.com. Today's episode, our very special guest is just, it's us. It's all these beautiful people. Sexy, attractive, sexy, sexy faces. Today's episode is, of course, brought to you by Sapori Cafe and Catering. It's Rochester's favorite spot for lunch. Any of your catering needs, find them on Facebook and Instagram at Sapori Rochester. Also, of course, you need a beer. Three Hits Brewing are the makers of Rochester's favorite beer. Remember, do good things and always be kind. Now here's your sexy host. He's got a hot, sexy 70s porn mustache he's working on. Vinny Paulino.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Carlson Cast. How are all you shut-ins doing?
Doing great. Tired. I get to focus on my superpower of laying on the couch and watching television.
Billy, you are a champion. Brian Ball's with us. He's below me. Ross is down there in the shining bathroom. Hi, gentlemen.
Actually, just my bathroom.
Yeah.
He remodeled it.
Yeah, he had it remodeled that way. He told Mike, this will not do. I need green and yellow trim.
He also dresses up as both of those little girls sometimes.
Sometimes.
he also keeps bodies in the tub. Now
I'm actually just here to bomb this meeting with my material about the Jews, so... I don't want, you've seen, okay, so I'm jumping on the news a little bit. So you've seen the stuff with people hacking into Zoom meetings, like, or getting the links and then they're just screaming the N-word, or
is that what that joke was about? Okay. All right.
I guess people don't get topical references, and it just, now I just look like an anti-Semite.
I think that joke says more about you.
Yeah. Honestly, man, I've been locked in my house. I've not been watching the news. I've been trying to avoid it the best I can. The only news I care about is stand-up news, which is what we're going to talk about today. Yeah. Huh? How do you like that transition? We'll get off of the chosen people and we'll get on to the news. You stupid idiot. All right.
So no, seriously, item one about the Jews though. I've got a whole list.
We love them.
They're great.
They're great.
They're fine people.
We love them. Could you not do this for the Carlson Cast, please? Because this is going on the club's Facebook.
No topical jokes. I got it. We're all sensitive snowflakes. Sorry.
All right. let's go with some news, Ross. How about it?
All right. So, okay. So the original Kings of Comedy, you're familiar with the original tour in the movie, Bernie Mac, Cedric the Entertainer, Dale Hughley, Steve Harvey. Most of them are still with us.
Three of the four are doing pretty well for themselves.
The four are doing great for themselves. So, you know, Bernie Mac had lived, he'd be doing great too, obviously. So, of course, there was the movie. This week, during the Variety podcast for Variety, the Variety newspaper, Cedric the Entertainer said they're talking about getting the band back together, getting the four remaining members of the original Kings of Comedy back together for a new tour.
And how do they plan to do that without shovels?
Right. Well, just the four of them. There would be four of them.
Okay.
Not all five. They would be getting back together. Obviously not doing that anytime soon. I guess I guess they've talked about this before, but Steve Harvey's been a little bit of the holdout as far as someone who wanted to get back on stage because he's got
95 jobs and $1 billion in the bank.
He's cruising on that Family Feud money.
Right. Like if you're Steve
Show
Harvey.
Show me, don't need no more money.
It's a step down. It's a step backwards to go and do that. I mean, you have to think that you're going to have a ton of fun hanging out with your old friends and whatever, but
yeah,
I don't know, man.
And he was the MC on that original tour. The movie, he's the MC. He's the first act.
Yeah. So, see, I mean, you know, I think...
That should go to show everyone that's in comedy that's just starting out. Sometimes the MCs are the winners in the long run.
Yeah.
There you
very,
go.
In the very long run.
That's what we tell ourselves for the first 4 or 5 years of our career.
That might be what you tell yourself, MC.
I'm the winner in the end.
I like this look with the microphone right in front of Brian's face. I think that's
good. It hides most of it. I think it's better for everybody.
I don't know. I'm a little disappointed in myself, but I think you're an attractive person.
Well, thank you, Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like this video chat. This is already making me uncomfortable. We're going back to strictly audio, baby.
I assumed this would be a sex thing, but I guess that's just confusion about what I use my webcam for.
Is that why you wore your disco shirt?
Yes, of course.
All right. In it.
Speaking of, I guess, creepy stuff. So, elephant in the room. I don't like bringing this up, but figured, you know, it's in the news. So Louis C.K. is back again. Not that he ever went away, really.
He did for about a year-ish, less than a year.
That. Was it that long?
Less than a year, I think.
It was about 9 months, yeah.
So I guess that's enough. He's released his official – he was doing – you know, we've talked about how he's been sort of hitting some clubs and doing some surprise appearances like he does. But he's released his first special on his website. It's $7.99. It's called his first special since all the things with the masturbating, etc. So he's released his first special. It's $7.99. It's called Sincerely. Apparently he talks about it. I have not watched it. I have not spent the $8. I'm sure I will not.
It's called Sincerely Louis C.K., right?
Sincerely Louis C.K., yeah.
Yeah, Louis, whatever.
So he, I guess he talks about the scandal a little bit. He's fairly unapologetic from what I've heard.
I got to decide if I want to watch this now.
I did download it. I have not watched it yet.
You did? Really?
I did.
Send a link. Send me a link.
I got to watch it. Yeah. I got to watch it. I downloaded it. I didn't watch it yet.
See, I kind of want to know the angle because there was some of that stand-up that got leaked to the internet when he was talking about the school shooting stuff. I don't think that was the best representation of his newer work.
Yeah.
Well, I think it might be, though, from what I was reading. And I guess Brian can say.
Oh, no.
From what I was reading, I guess there's a lot of, I guess he's really leaning into the, well, the sort of, the political correctness angle, you know, like I'm untethered. I can say, you know, I can say whatever. So there was a lot of that from what I was reading, but again, I did not watch it.
I debated before I downloaded it for a good solid minute and a half, but, I respected his work so much before all this happened that I thought I gotta at least give it a shot, you know?
So. Yeah. Oh, his audience now, from what I can tell, is very, very right-wing. I guess the way to put it. It's a very politicized type audience that's really, really behind him. And I don't blame him for playing to that, because when those are the people who stood behind you, those are the people that you know you want to entertain, because you're not, you know, I imagine he's probably a little annoyed at the rest of the world, even though it's kind of his own fault. He's not apologetic for it, so he's... In a way, I guess, pandering to this group.
On the hand he got dealt.
Yeah, and he's playing it the best he can, and that's exactly what I'm trying to say, is that he's playing it.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm curious. I just got it out of curiosity. I'm sure it's not going to be as good as the old stuff, but...
Have any of you guys watched the new Pete Davidson special on Netflix yet?
It's on my queue to watch this week.
Okay, he spends the first 5 minutes talking about how Louis C.K., when he hosted Saturday Night Live, narked on him for smoking weed and going to Lorne Michaels. And Lorne Michaels was like called Pete in the office and was sort of like, listen, Louis said that, and basically gave Pete a hard time throughout the week.
Way to go, Brian. You downloaded a narc special.
Yeah, I'm more upset about that.
So Pete's take is basically, in the end, I'm winning. He goes, look where you are now, Louis, and look where I am.
Oh, yeah. Pete Davidson's doing fine. I mean, if he lives, you know, assuming he survives.
For the next 7-8 weeks.
The Louis C.K. thing, part of it, what gets to me with even like enjoying his, like even if his comedy is good now, I don't know when I watch a comedian, there are comedians that are just funny and I sort of don't care who they are. Well, I mean, I care who they are on one level, but there are comedians where I feel like I've bought into a persona, like I've bought into a whole thing. Like you're not just telling jokes, you're telling life story and you're telling me about yourself and you're opening up. And when someone like Louis C.K. completely flips their whole script into like, oh no, I was doing this thing and now I'm a completely different kind of person who does this thing.
I had the same problem with Dennis Miller. I was a huge Dennis Miller.
Okay.
Fan.
Oh yeah. Me too.
Good example. Great example.
Great example. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me feel like I was buying into something that was, I mean, and again, and it's an entertainer and, you know, however much people make you feel like they're opening up, that's not necessarily legitimate or even the job. But when you create that sort of like, oh, I'm into Louis C.K., I'm interested in his life, I'm interested in his kid, you know, and then suddenly he's like, no, I wasn't that person, I'm this different person because there's more money in being this kind of person. It makes me not care, I guess, how even if he's really funny now, I guess I'm just not invested anymore.
I just want to see how much he's changed, like how far he's gone that way. And I may very well listen to the first 20 minutes and be like, ugh, and never listen to it again.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
I just wanted to see, you know.
As a performer, though, I don't have a problem with someone who understands who their audience is and really tries to, you know, give them the show that they want. I have no problem with that. The circumstances in this case make it a little suspect, is all I'm saying.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, it's more than suspect. You hit the nail on the head, and it's on a commercial level, it's absolutely fine. It just turns me off as a potential audience member. You know, I mean, if the initial stuff didn't turn me off, which it already did, you know, I'm going to completely flip into doing something else for a new audience. Again, that's fine. That's probably smart from a business perspective, but it doesn't draw me in as an audience. You know, it doesn't draw me back. So,
well, frankly, Ross, I don't think Louis cares. He already got Brian's $8.
He doesn't. Exactly. Yeah. It's not like we were each going to spend $8. We were just going to share that link anyway. So
I don't think you've ever been Louis's target audience, Ross.
Well, I don't know.
Ross hasn't even been Louis's target.
Hey, oh.
All right. Anyway. What else you got? I'm tired of talking about this guy.
Okay, so bad news for David Spade. I'm sure he'll land on his feet, but he had that talk show on Comedy Central.
Yeah, that show was doing really well. Lights Out.
Yeah, Lights Out with David Spade. Well, it wasn't doing that well because it's canceled. So
really?
They went on hiatus.
That surprises me. That surprises me big time.
I've been watching his YouTube shows like constantly during all this.
Yeah, there's
one of my favorite things to watch.
There's no information on what the deciding factor was. I get the sense that it was not by his choice, but it seemed to be doing well, but it's been on hiatus because of the COVID-19 stuff, and apparently is not coming back.
Wow.
Ever. So I guess the company, it's aired on Comedy Central. The production company is going to try to shop it to other, other networks and outlets. So it might come back somewhere else, but as far as Comedy Central is concerned, it's canceled.
Man, that was a quick decision too, because on his YouTube show just like a couple of days ago, he was still talking about Comedy Central.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's a bad choice, I think. I think that show had some legs, and I think they probably should give it more time.
Yeah, and it's only been going since July. So I mean, it hardly seems like it's time to see what the audience is. But yeah. I'm sure David Spade will be fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll land on his feet.
Yeah, he's doing just fine. He's got Louis money.
So if you've been wondering what Jerry Seinfeld's been up to, apparently he's just, according to his wife, he's just running around the house yelling all day long.
That's a quote. Sums it up.
I've learned.
He doesn't even know there's a pandemic. This is just what he does. He just runs around yelling, goes and waxes some cars, yells at the kids.
What is the deal with homeschooling?
His wife says, I've learned that when he cannot perform live on stage, he loses. This is Jessica Seinfeld. I've learned when he cannot perform live on stage, he loses his sense of speak. Instead of talking in a normal voice, he now yells, yells, yells all day long.
Oh my God. I would go crazy.
So apparently that's what, if you wanted an update on Seinfeld, I guess he's hale and hearty and healthy and just running around the house yelling and driving his wife insane.
Walking around with a microphone in his hand.
He can't even go get coffee with comedians in cars.
No.
Can't even
they could just
him
sit
over.
In the car. They could go through a drive-thru and just sit in the car.
If I were him, I would start recording the show. I would set it up, and I would do live streams. I would make a comedian go sit in a car, and then I would sit in another car with a cup of coffee and just live stream it. I mean, that's about all you can do.
That'd be pretty funny, actually.
How insufferable do you think it would be to live with Jerry Seinfeld? Not like nothing taken away, nothing from his talent, but just in general, the guy made how many millions of dollars being just a contrarian to everything? And could you imagine just being around him all day and he's like, oh, that's stupid. And you're like, yeah, I guess.
I feel like the good part about it is he's probably not home a lot and that probably makes it pretty fine.
But now he is.
I don't know how many like Hollywood or, you know, regular people too, but I don't know how many Hollywood divorces are going to come out of this thing, you know?
If their wives were smart, Larry David's wife and Jerry Seinfeld's wife would have said, how about you guys just go stay together for a few weeks?
Yeah.
Leave us alone.
Can you imagine?
Hey, if you had to pick the comedian that you just don't think you could handle like spending a weekend with, who do you think it would be? Like
Brian.
Brian. I was picking Brian too.
Yep.
Billy? I'm a comedian.
I'm not picking Brian. He's my new friend.
Yeah.
Who will
and I are
then?
Allies.
Who's the comedian that you don't want to spend time with?
My initial impression is Gilbert Gottfried, but he's definitely not the on guy. You know,
not even a little bit.
Yeah.
No.
So but he still seems extra weird.
Correct.
My B choice is Judy Tenuta.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, I think that'd be a lot.
Wow, that's a throwback.
With the accordion all the time.
Having to fix her hip.
I'm going Andy Dick. I can handle about five seconds of that. I can handle about a minute and a half of that nonsense.
Yeah. He's got all the good drugs, though, you figure.
That's a pretty good solid choice. I don't think. Do you consider Andy Dick a comedian, though?
He does stand
up. He does gigs, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going Pauly Shore.
Ah, he's all torn up about his mom. All right, what else you got, Ross?
Okay, so wrapping up on a nice note, I like to try to find some nice things. So, of course, there have been a lot of fundraisers and comedians doing things for other comedians. So there were a couple that just happened just in this past week that I thought were worth mentioning. And again, keep an eye out for these things because they're going on. Different comedians are doing different things. So Adam Sandler, Howie Mandel, and a bunch of other people got together over this past week. They raised $300,000 for unemployed comics. Wow. So, Brian, you might want to call
somebody. Yeah, where do I apply?
They did a six-hour charity event this past Saturday for Comedy Gives Back. They have
How much did they raise?
Relief fund.
What's How that? Much? How much did they raise?
They raised $356,206.37.
That's like... for every comic in America could be paid what you get paid for doing a guest spot at the Comedy Store. I feel like every single one of them could get paid from that. That's amazing.
So Bob Saget and Whitney Cummings, they had a whole bunch of other people. And then separately, just last night, I don't know how much money they raised because this was just last night, but I haven't seen anything this morning. But Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, and a bunch of other people did a like a Def Comedy Jam thing through Russell Simmons as a fundraiser, similar idea. Again, I assume that raised, you know, a few dollars as well. So people are doing some nice things, raising some money.
You know, it's like Brian. It's a really weird situation for entertainers right now because, I mean, all of our sources of income is just gone. Like I had a full 2 months of shows just cancel on me. Brian, you know.
I for once actually was booked up for a couple months. Like the one time I get, this is probably all my fault. Because I got booked up and then this all happened.
Do you guys feel like if you did, so say you did something like this, right? Say you put something together like this, like an online thing that was not a free, you know, that was not a free thing. Do you feel like people would yell at you if it were not for charity? Like if you were like, no, seriously, I'm legitimately poor and I would like you to pay. I'm raising money for myself.
I've seen people do it.
All right.
We did the show with Saint-Aubert the other night, and they had a Venmo up, and people donated to them. They made a couple $100.
I think if you say it costs $9.99, I think you'll get some flack. But if you just have a Venmo up and say, you know, whatever you think is fair, I'd appreciate it. If you don't, fine.
You have to do a level of pitifulness.
to make it a little legit. Bit.
All right. There have just been so many charity things. I sort of wondered, like, if, you know, charity events by big name comedians for comedians a little down the chain who might be struggling. I wonder how many comedians are trying to do things for themselves and getting like, well, Howie Mandel's doing it for charity. Why can't you?
I'm seeing a lot of musicians are playing nightly or at least a couple times a week and throwing up their PayPal/Venmo whatever. Right. And I think they're doing okay, at least the ones I like. Vinny, I sent you the Locatani one the other night, and I bet he had a decent amount of people donate some money.
That guy could put on a show, can he? He's alone in his living room. He's something else. He's doing like Pilates squats on the piano. It was freaking nuts. So that being said, I don't think stand-up holds up on this format, Ross. So the problem I think that stand-up comics are having is, what is the content that I could put out there? Because doing stand-up online without an actual audience is not good. I will say it again. It's not good.
Yeah.
I would not want to be a part of it. I wouldn't want to do it. I like the idea of the challenge, but number one, you're putting all your content out there and it's going to stay out there, and you're putting your best content out there in the worst possible circumstances of the way you could put it out there. So I don't think there's a winner. Maybe you get a couple of bucks. I don't know if there's a winner in the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've seen outdoor comedy.
That's a very good way to put it.
How's comedy in front of nobody gonna work?
Ask Brian. He does it all the
time. I was gonna say ask Joe, but we don't have Joe here.
Yeah. You know, those are the worst gigs, Billy. Those are some of the worst gigs.
Well, outdoor comedy, I've been to a few shows, and it never works out well.
It's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I had the honor, maybe two summers ago, of they booked Orny Adams to play the Lilac Festival. Do you know about this, Billy?
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, we had Orny on Weeze's show, yeah.
Yeah, Orny was the headliner, and they have never done a comedy show at the Lilac Festival before. It was the first time there's ever been stand-up comedy. And they took one of the big, giant music tents. They set the show for like 6 o'clock. And we're talking the month of May, so it's bright as noon outside. Mm-hmm. And they put it in this big, giant tent. And there's windows all along the side of the tent. So it's just sunlight beaming in. They put in 400 seats. And they probably sold 125 tickets. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have anyone doing seating. So it was... One guy's here, then another guy's seven rows back to the left, then there's another person over here, and everybody's just peppered around the room. The lights are just, it's daytime inside of this tent, and I had the pleasure of being the very first stand-up comic to perform at the Lilac Festival in those circumstances, and it was the worst gig of my effing life. It was the worst thing that ever happened to me.
You were the first and the second to last.
Exactly correct.
Well, and it's hard to be in the audience for something like that too. If you're one of the few people in the audience, it's like uncomfortable for everybody.
Yeah. And you know what they say? If you say fuck outdoors, Jesus hears you. So you have to remember that too.
The weird part about it was, and the worst part, Billy, you'll laugh at this, Orny was late getting there. So like all I wanted to do, I had to do a half hour and I just wanted to get off of this stage. I'm at like 29 minutes or so, I'm about to close off, and I turn to the side of the stage, and the producers there going, stretch, stretch, stretch.
Oh, God.
Oh, how about that kettle corn?
Yeah, like there were kids there. I took my keys out and was just jangling at them. I didn't know what to do.
Who likes rusted root?
So they said, so they say to me, they go, like, they walk up and they go, hey, listen, we have a raffle. Do the raffle. I'm like, okay. So I start doing the raffle. And then, like, we do the raffle. I bring these people up on stage to pull the numbers or whatever. And then the producer walks up to the stage, walks behind me, goes, we still need you to stretch. But Orny says you need to get all these people in this room to move up to the front of the room. Which is the way, for those of you who are uninitiated in the comedy business, is the way you properly seat a room. Everybody, when you walk into a comedy show, they go, I don't want to sit up front. Guess what? We're putting you up front. Because laughter is contagious. When you push everybody to the front of the room and you have people around each other, it makes the show 1,000 times better. Mm-hmm. And they feel like slightly unnerving, a little uncomfortable. But once the show starts, it's amazing. It's the best way to do it. This, with people sprinkled all over the place, Orny didn't even want to go on stage, Billy. The guy didn't even go on.
Sure. So
I'm on stage going, all right, everybody, that's the raffle. Can everyone please move forward to the front? We're going to have a great time. Orny Adams is here. Let's all move to the front. They all stared at me like Brian is staring at that microphone right now, just dead inside. Just come on, everybody, let's move. I do this like 3 or 4 times. I'm throwing a couple of jokes I have left because I'm just pulling everything I can out of the sling, and they're just not coming up. And finally I said, I'm not getting paid enough for this. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for your headliner? Now I've probably been on stage 45 minutes at this point. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your headliner, Orny Adams. Orny walks on stage, great energy. Everybody get up and move to the front right now. Let's do the show. Blah, 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 blah. Everybody gets up like, oh, okay.
You had no power, Vinny.
I had no power. I didn't have the stroke, but that was why I hate comedy outside. It never goes well.
Can I tell you a quick outside comedy story?
Please do. We got nothing
to time. I didn't know if we had time. The first time I saw Robert Klein was at RIT Spring Fling. It was like their homecoming weekend or whatever. And they had Nick and the Nice Guys playing in the tent and Robert Klein. And it's outside in the tent. Kids are buying beer. I think the drinking age was like 19 at the time. And in the tent,
kids were buying beers for their parents. It was great.
Exactly. And when Klein came out, he made everybody sit on the cement floor of this tent. The cement, it was in the parking lot. So he made everybody sit down which sort of made the crowd go against him because, you know, it's got beer on it, it's dirty, and now everybody's trying to sit Indian style or cross-legged or whatever.
Crisscross applesauce. It's 2020.
Okay. And it didn't go well. And he basically performed his 1972 album, Mind Over Matter.
Did he do the shaky leg thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop my leg. And outside, that was my first experience with outside comedy, was having Robert Klein make a bunch of half teenagers, half adults sit on a parking lot, cement, uncomfortable and unhappy.
Worst show I ever did, Billy, was at a firehouse. I got booked for this fire hall gig. I was the middle act, and we get there, and the firemen had fought 3 fires in the last 24 hours. It was in the middle of summer. It was like 90 degrees, and it was like in a non-air-conditioned fire hall. This was a glamorous gig, guys. Mm-hmm. And we go in there, and they do like these awards for the yearly meeting, whatever, for the firemen. And they're like, okay, we're going to start the comedy show now. And everyone got up and left, except for the guy who booked the show and the chief. They sat there, 2 people.
Wow.
And a big, giant, empty fire hall with no air conditioning.
So which was worse, Lilac Festival or Firehouse?
Lilac Festival.
Okay.
Because I really wanted the Lilac Festival to go well.
All right.
And that was just a mess. But it was. I don't think it was anybody's fault. It was just... the cards were not played properly.
And outside comedy is hard.
It is. It's not good.
I've seen Earl David Reed not do well outside, and he kills. He's one of my very favorites, and he struggles outside. Yeah.
I don't think people really understand the environment that comedy needs. Like, it really does. It has to be presented properly for it to work. And you can't just put it anywhere. And that's the problem with a lot of open mics. People are like, oh, I want to have an open mic in my bar. And they put it at the end of the bar with the dartboard behind them and that shit. Yeah. It just doesn't work. Long-term, it doesn't work. Maybe it'll work 1 week because people have a good time, but it's not presenting comedy right. So I guess that's all the time we have for today. Ross, excellent job.
Thank you.
Brian, thank you for being so dynamic. Oh, you are there. I thought he had just put a picture of himself up. Holy crap, he is there.
Try and dance around a little bit more next time.
Yeah, maybe not have the mic directly in front of your face. Move it to the side a little bit so we can see you.
We're learning.
I don't believe you. Billy, good job. Thanks for watching, everybody. Make sure you subscribe, carlsoncast.com, and make sure you enter. If you're making a funny video at home, make sure you enter the Carlson's Funniest Video Contest, and look for more information for that on the Carlson Facebook page. We will see you guys tomorrow with our guest, Jimmy Schubert. So talk to you later, guys.